Chapter 5. An Address by Beloved Mary, Mother of Jesus. Good Friday, April 16, 1954. On Personal Experiences and Thoughts on First Good Friday, Mary's Training and Ability to Hold Immaculate Concept, and Her Determination to Hold It for Each One on Earth Now. Activities of the Sacred Heart Temple at Inner Levels, which is her particular interest and service to life. Beloved children, do you know that today is an anniversary? Today is the anniversary of that first Good Friday when I was given the marvelous opportunity of becoming the mother of every one of you, the mother of every soul belonging to this evolution, the mother of every precious, aspiring spirit belonging to the evolutions of this planet. Through this opportunity, it is my privilege to love, to care for each one, enfolding them in that personalized radiation of interest and solicitude of motherhood until all have attained their full mastery in the light. That first Good Friday morning, I walked alone up a dreary hillside, the mother of one, and walked down a few hours later, the mother of millions. Was that not an opportunity? Was it not a crowning glory rather than a sorrow? Good Friday changed me from a woman with individual interests to a cosmic mother of all the souls so dear to the heart of God, and I shall always remember it thus. It is always so in one's experience. When you give that which is most dear to you, returning it to the universal in accordance with God's will, though it tear your heart. The return from God is most generous in its blessings, in that where before there was one most precious, there is born the love for the many. How shall I describe to you, my dear ones, the exaltation of the soul when the consciousness and feelings are lifted up, and your arms become the everlasting arms that enfold all the consciousnesses that belong to this earth with the same intensity of purpose that you have held for the one or the few. My ministry and experience is a magnificent example of this, because by the very nature of the service that Jesus was to perform, I was required to take an initiation to perfect myself upon one pointedness and concentration of my energy, my substance, my protection, and my life around that single life stream. By the very importance of the cosmic moment, I was not allowed to let my attention wander. Then, in an instant, that one was removed who was the focus of my attention, of all my life, all my love and solicitude, all the nights of sleepless prayer, all of the days of constant calling to God for help. And then I received the command from the heart of the great Father of all to expand that solicitude to encompass the many, all at once. Beloved ones, witness the wisdom of the great law in building a momentum. That great law drew the power of concentration, of love and selflessness, of purity and dedication, building of it a concentrated focus that on a cosmic instant the flame from the heart of the universal struck into that momentum, expanded it, and made it worldwide and world engulfing. Witness the kindness of the law to leave no vacuum, no emptiness, not even one moment of desolation before the spirit of the one gave the command. Mother, behold thy children. And, children, behold thy mother. The moment those words were spoken, the flame within my heart expanded, and in the relinquishing of the Spirit of Jesus into the bosom of the Eternal Father, I was filled with that great radiation of love for all. Oh, the kindness of God, the mercy of life in that hour of our initiation. I can speak with authority when I say to you, you are never, never, never alone. That which you build so humbly in your daily, hourly living is forming a focus which at a particular moment can be expanded, as was mine. A series of apparently humble daily experiences into which all the energies of my bodies were poured, builded a form that was to be for me my strength, my balance, and my sanity in the hour of my need. So you also build your strength in the quietness of the days before the release of the opportunity which will be your individual destiny. No man knows when that hour comes. For each one, it is different. For me, it was at Calvary. For you, each one, a great cosmic climax to your Earth's experiences will occur, and then the mercy of the great universal first cause, blessing you, will sustain you through to your victory. It was required of me to stand guard, fully conscious, on that hillside throughout those hours of Jesus' crucifixion. I thought you might care to know of what I was thinking while I kept watch there. I stood and held the Immaculate Conception of life eternal within my consciousness, endeavoring to duplicate in the physical body the initiation through which I had passed victoriously before Jesus and I took embodiment. I stood there and held the concentrated Christ focus of the resurrection flame for my Son, and to do this, I concentrated all of my energies on a happy pattern of our life experiences. I began thinking back to the council in which the Lord Maitreya, in his great mercy and kindness, offered me the opportunity of holding the immaculate concept of the divine man against the pressure of initiation. During that initiation, the spiritual winds blew, and the pressures of thought and feeling from within me, as well as those directed at me by the Brotherhood, tried to break my line of thought, my pattern of thinking and feeling, to allow the intrusion of other ideas, even good ones, on the visualization of the perfect image which I was holding. I remembered the sweet voice of Lord Maitreya at the close of the 3 hours of initiation, giving the blessing, saying, "It is well, Mary. However, remember that the winds you have felt, the pressures you have known in the full freedom of your inner bodies, are as naught before those you will feel exuding from the consciousness of mankind, who, in impurity, selfishness, bigotry, and viciousness, will drive at you, at your spouse, and at your child after the mission is begun." Standing in the winds of Calvary's hilltop, looking at the greed and the consciousness of those who loved and enjoyed the spectacle, I remembered well those words, and I held with every fiber and cell of my being to that immaculate concept of the resurrected, risen, breathing Christ. With every cell and atom of my being, I called to Lord Maitreya, to the beloved Vesta, to the beloved Helios, to the beloved Gabriel, and to everyone who had given me assistance. "O God, O God, O God," I prayed, "help me now in the physical appearance world, wearing the garment of flesh, part of the mental and emotional body of this earth. Help me to hold this immaculate concept through these hours." I sensed the response from the heart of the Son. I saw the presence of Vesta. I saw above Jesus the luminous, shining presence of Lord Maitreya. I felt the wingspread of Gabriel's kindly and luminous presence. I knew, friends that are yours today, just for the asking. Then I thought of a winter night long ago in a simple stable. I thought, too, of Joseph, my loving husband, and my heart went out to him. Within myself I cried, "O Joseph, Joseph, were it but possible that you could be here with me today, were it but possible that the strength of your light could sustain me now, as I hold the concept that we so happily held through Jesus' growing years to this day. Oh, that it were possible for you to stand with me now, as we stood so often at the doorway of our home and visualized and witnessed this innocent form growing to mastery." Joseph was there with me, in spirit, of course. Friends of light, friends that build the bonds that last for eternity, some of you were there with us then. Some of you here remember that day. I thought also of the long, tedious ride into Egypt, of the sleepless nights when we fled before the soldiers of Herod, of our coming into a strange land, of the entrance into the temple to which we returned in our later years. All of these memories I summoned up from within my etheric body, keeping my mind busy upon the plan and pattern of perfection, holding to every happiness, every memory that blotted out the appearance of the hour. In time, for time is the great healer, as I continued to hold that immaculate concept undisturbed, its perfect work was done, and I became the marvelously blessed receiver of the souls of men. Filled with an inner peace and exultation, I walked with John down that hill and out of Jerusalem. Oh, I thought, Jerusalem, fickle city, just 1 week ago the hosannas rang. Yet 3 days hence, thou art destined to be the stage for a drama remembered for ages. The temple shall have fallen, the decayed walls broken, and the voices which were raised in the call for the crucifixion shall be stilled. In peace, John and I walked to Bethany, and there we remained until the days were accomplished and the resurrection was fact. My son, triumphant, visiting us thereafter, established a focus for the Christian dispensation, and there we abode for 30 long years until I was privileged to receive my summons and join the celestial group of beings who have come home to go out no more. Well, it is done, and it is written. There are so many life streams who contributed to the wealth of our love in that life. Among them are the beloved angels, the beloved Gabriel and Michael, the beloved Joseph, Saint Germain, the beloved John, Peter, and James, as well as many of you in this room today. In our free state, we have not forgotten you, dear ones. Bless your hearts. You are all my children. You know, I have a momentum of holding that immaculate concept. Perhaps I gained it the hard way, but what I did for Jesus, I have now vowed before God to do for all the 10 billion souls of earth walking the pathway home. I am doing this now for each one with the same intensity with which I held it for my beloved son. Oh, the crucifixion is not over as long as any man, woman, or child is in pain. The individual crucifixion of every son and daughter of man is not so great compared to our experience. But I promise you that by my faith, my one-pointedness, my ability to hold that vision for you, each of you shall be set free. Thank you, beloved ones, for accepting my promise. The feeling of acceptance bursting forth from your heart flame is your freedom. Even while you believe that your individual cross is heavy, even while you believe that the nails in your hands and feet are painful, I am seeing the resurrected living Christ of each of you bursting from the tomb of your human consciousness. I am seeing that Christ stand forth transformed as I did for my son on the hill of Golgotha. Can you withstand that vision, that hope, that faith? Oh, no. You know a mother cannot be convinced that her child is not worthwhile. No real mother can accept, even in the face of physical action, proof in fact that her child is not good at heart. For within herself she knows the perfection of his real self. For you all, I stand before the sun in heaven. I stand in the halls of karma before the karmic board. I stand before every being, power, force, virtue, law, and activity of the universal one, and refuse acceptance of the ability or capacity of any life stream to sustain evil indefinitely. My light and my love shall draw forth the good from within all life streams, as my light and love through Jesus did draw forth his mastery. Editor's note. Audience arose to express gratitude for this service. Thank you, beloved ones, and won't you be seated, please? If there is one thing in this world I love to do, it is to make life comfortable. You know, in our activities of healing through the temples, I always instruct the divas and the brothers and sisters who assist me to first make the energies of the physical bodies as comfortable as possible. You see, the consciousness is not receptive to healing or any grace or virtue while the body is resentful or in discomfort. Therefore, I would advise you individually, particularly when you come to class, to make your bodies as comfortable as possible, but in an alert and positive way, not in lethargy. Then you will receive the blessing that is ours to give. We are in a cosmic moment today, and just briefly I wish to speak to you about it, asking for the contribution of your energies. As I have told you previously, it is my privilege to create the physical heart for each child that is to take on a physical embodiment. The temple of the Sacred Heart, in which both Jesus and I work, is dedicated to drawing around the soul with the help of the body elemental. That substance which will make the Sacred Heart the tabernacle of the immortal threefold flame of life. We use the most perfect substance of the life stream to create that heart. At this time, all seven of the great lords of karma are present in the halls of karma, and to them is being presented the soul of every life stream who can be admitted to incarnation on the earth plane within the next 12-month period. From these souls presented, the karmic board will choose those who are to have the opportunity to re-embody. For every soul who is chosen, two will be denied. That is the law. Under the ordinary activities of life heretofore, the choice has been made without regard to the preponderance of spiritual life streams. It is made quite impersonally. However, now the beloved Master Moira and other interested masters have evolved the idea of asking the Lords of Karma for the opportunity of bringing into embodiment spiritually awakened people who will take the vow of obedience to the beloved Sanat Kumara before they incarnate. These people will then work throughout this current period to set themselves free, to bring an understanding of the Great White Brotherhood to mankind at large, to cooperate with the Ascended Masters and the will of God, and to serve life generally. This petition was presented by the beloved Serapis Bey last evening, for which I am eternally grateful to him. Your decrees, your songs, your calls to the Great Karmic Board for the granting of this petition will bear great weight, and we are hoping by this coming Sunday to have some answer from that august body. May I digress here for a moment? You see, our love for Serapis Bey is very great. As the head of the Luxor Brotherhood in Egypt, he gave both Jesus and myself great assistance. Previous to the public ministry of the beloved Jesus, my son and I returned to Egypt, and we spent 3 years at Luxor. At this time, we both became masters of the final initiation, which is the particular interest of the Luxor retreat. For example, the conscious removal of the current of life from the body and the returning of it again through the controlled breath. This was done to prepare us for Jesus' supreme test. Being so very close to my son, I also took the initiation so that my consciousness might be one with his during that experience. Just to show you the immensity of the program, there are over 300 million souls applying for re-embodiment. That may seem a lot to you, but remember, there are around 7 billion of souls always waiting at the gates of birth. At the present time, there are in the neighborhood of 3 billion souls incarnated. The law is that approximately 1/3 of the 10 billion souls belonging to this planet are in embodiment on the earth at one time, while the other 2/3 are out of embodiment, living in the inner realms. So 300 million is not such a large percentage of 7 billion. The entire 7 billions are scheduled to come through the gates of birth before the current 20-year period is up. You can see this is a tremendous task. At this time, the 300 million are moving in a slow procession before the Lords of Karma. These must be sorted out, separated according to consciousness, and examined. This examination is performed in groups, where the consciousness is not illumined enough to allow them to go into bodies spiritually awakened. However, this is done individually, where the life stream is spiritually awakened and where they are to be of potential service to the race. If the petition of the beloved Serapis is passed, as I referred to before, then there will be a meeting in the month of May when these people will be offered opportunity at inner levels to take the oath of obedience to beloved Sanat Kumara. This should be a magnificent activity if it is accomplished. If you people in the outer world will have your classes at the time this is done, we are bound to feel the gratitude of the Great Law. From now until Sunday, if you can find the time and energy to use, if you will make the calls for dispensations from the Karmic Board to allow into embodiment only spiritually evolved souls, it will help the Earth tremendously. Then, of course, there will be the great need for calls for these incoming souls because, as you see, they will be more advanced spiritually than their parents. If the advanced life streams are given the preponderance of the vote, there will not be enough sufficiently illumined parents to guide and guard them. So we will have to ask for purification and illumination of consciousness in the homes into which these new children come. I thank you so much for your interest in this very important matter. Now this morning, as your attention has been turned to our blessed Jesus and to myself, I bring to you our love and gratitude for your depth of feeling, your magnificent harmony, and for this exquisite force field. It is a lovely thing to be welcomed, and the welcome in your feelings which you have given to those of us who are ministering to you makes possible the radiation we pour to mankind everywhere today. Thank you, and good morning.